So in this episode, which I'm live streaming on Facebook, but I'm also recording for the Liberty Bigley podcast, I wanted to touch on another episode of a podcast that I just recorded with my wife, and that is we do a gothic horror podcast called Unhallowed, but I promise that this episode has something to do with libertarianism. And it was a bit in an unexpected place, because in our podcast, we talk about gothic horror, and that is of the Victorian vintage. Maybe everyone knows Frankenstein and Dracula. However, so we talk about gothic horror, and in this week's episode, we discuss The Monkey's Paw, which is a short story, a British short story from 1902. And it's one of the most famous and unsettling scary stories that's out there. And it's interesting because W.W. Jacobs is not, he was the author, and he's not really known for writing scary stories. Some of them, as I understand, some of them are more whimsical than anything else. And lighthearted, maybe humorous. But he wrote this story called The Monkey's Paw, and it's actually what was part of what the inspiration was for Stephen King to write Pet Sematary. However, it's widely accepted that W.W. Jacobs was writing this story against the evils of British imperialism and perhaps warning about the cost of empire. And I had never, ever made this connection before until I was reading an article about it. And then it kind of made sense to me. So if you are familiar with the story, then I won't belabor it too much. But if you're not familiar with the story, it's about a 10-minute read. So go just type in The Monkey's Paw full text. It's in the public domain. So basically, there's a family of three people, an older couple and their only surviving son, their last surviving son. And it's hinted that they've had sons in the past. And they are, one stormy night, they live out in the country. They're not super well off. But one stormy night, the husband, or the father and the son, are playing chess. And they're waiting for company. And they're all in the den area. And the company comes, and he's a master sergeant in the British military, and he was stationed in India. And they have kind of this strange dinner meeting where they start all drinking whiskey, and the sergeant starts telling stories about India and his service in India, fighting and doing all sorts of imperialist things. And at one point he mentions this, it's the father mentions this monkey's paw that he's had this conversation about once with this master sergeant. And the master sergeant starts talking about, he gets all hushed and weird about this monkey's paw, and it doesn't really make sense to him. So the family, there's these awkward moments where, I don't know, the family is kind of, everything's kind of put off because the master sergeant starts acting really weird about this monkey's paw, and the family doesn't take it seriously, but apparently it's something that grants three wishes to whomever has it and grants the wishes. And the master sergeant said he got it from another man in India, and this man, his last wish was for death, for his own death. And the family asked if the master sergeant had ever, you know, had he made his three wishes, and he said yes, but he looked really crazed and kind of sunken and disturbed about it. And basically the master sergeant warns them against using the monkey's paw, and he gets drunk and they have their dinner date, and the master sergeant leaves. But eventually leaves, he tries to destroy it and throw it in the fire, but the master sergeant leaves and leaves the monkey's paw with the father. And the son is an adult son, so he works during the day. But the next day, the father wishes just kind of flippantly for £200, which at the time was a fair sum of money. And the son, they laugh about it, and the son leaves. And all of a sudden, the father and the wife are at home waiting for their son to come back, and a lawyer shows up at the house basically saying in a roundabout way, your son died, he was killed today because he fell into the machines at the factory, and he's all mottled up and you don't want to see the body, but we are not accepting liability, but here's 200 pounds. And they get all freaked out and they bury their son. They're really sad. They're freaked out because the monkey's paw, you know, it moved when he made the wish. So there's something supernatural about it when he made the wish for 200 pounds. And the about 10 days after the son's death, they use the monkey's paw and they realize that they can use the monkey. The wife does. She wakes up crazed in the middle of the night and she basically forces the father into using the monkey's paw to wish for the last, you know, wish for their son to come back. And he does that. And all of a sudden, about 20 or 30 minutes later, there's like a knocking at their door in the middle of the night. And the wife goes out to answer the door. And the father is like, oh my God, what have I done? So he uses the last wish of the monkey's paw to wish his son dead again. And so the mother opens the door to find no one standing there, and she wails into the night. And the father is relieved because he put his son back down. And there's no zombie walking around. But one of the great elements of the story is that there's no, I promise this all relates to libertarianism, but there's no telling in the story. It leaves it on a cliff's edge. And there's a lot of elements of the story that W.W. Jacobs leaves up to your imagination to fill in the gaps. One thing being is that I suspect that the father in this story has never served in war. And I don't know how he's met this master sergeant that comes over and tells him about what the British Empire is doing in India and what he's seen in India and what he's gotten back. But it seems like these two, the husband and wife, are just kind of bumpkins, and they think that it's quaint, that the exploits of the British Empire is a quaint thing because, oh, well, Master Sergeant goes over and he becomes a war hero and he tells us of his exploits, which we sit at with rapt attention and we listen to his every word, and he's brought back this monkey's paw. And there's something evil and cursed about it, but we think it's quaint because we idolize the military and we idolize what he's done in India. So he brings back this talisman, and it's of the other, which is all those people in India, which have nothing to do with us. There's no power or anything interesting or of worth there except for the quaint, I'm looking for a word here, but it's like a trinket, some kind of a trinket instead of something that holds this huge supernatural power. So they don't take it seriously and they just make this flippant wish. And I really liken this to the choice that men make when they decide to join the military. And this is just what I've heard from watching interviews with men that have served, veterans that have served in World War II or Vietnam or something like that, who have given anti-war speeches. And some of this is like in the Pacific, they're Pacific, like Band of Brothers in the Pacific, which was the sister show. There's Sydney. He's a veteran. His name is Sydney Pacific. Sorry about this. Sydney, he spoke at the Mises Institute. Sid Phillips, he was I think he was a machine gunner or a mortar man he served in the Pacific Theater, and he came back and he became like, I don't know if he was a surgeon, but he came back and became somewhat of an anti-war activist. Maybe I got that wrong. All I know is that he spoke at a Mises conference that was anti-war. But what they say is that, well, when men join the military, it's like virgins talking about sex. They have no idea what they're really getting into. And the real true horror of it is not something that they can ever realize until it's too late. in that way, I think that the mother and father in the monkey's paw, they don't take it seriously. They don't take any of it seriously, even though the veteran who was there, who has experienced the horrors of the monkey's paw, he warns them about it. And they're just like, oh yeah, whatever. I'll make this decision, this grave decision that I don't know what the consequences of, and I'll wish, use the monkey's paw wish. Well, it ends up resulting in the death of their only son. And one thing I do suspect is that I think that the family knows this master sergeant from one of their other sons who served in the military and perhaps who was stationed in India or some other place and maybe served with their son. And that is never mentioned, but I suspect that. And maybe they lost some sons in the conflict. And one thing that's so scary about this story is that it doesn't, to the outward reader, it might not appear that the father deserves to lose his son. And perhaps it's because he made a decision without thinking about the consequences or knowing what the consequences were. But I saw a lot of parallels, and it turns out through research that this was just one of many stories around this time, around 1902, of British literature that was criticizing the British Empire and warning of the unintended consequences of empire. And that's something that comes up a lot in this story and some literature, some literary analysis that I've read in preparation for our episode. So I tried to nail on this a little bit in my episode with my wife, The Unhallowed, but that's not an overtly political podcast, so I didn't want to spend too much time talking about my own political feelings about this story, but this is the perfect place to do that. Liberty Bigley. So if you're watching the YouTube stream right now, or excuse me, the Facebook stream right now, my podcast is my B-side podcast. It's at anchor.fm/ Liberty Bigley. Liberty, the word, and Bigley, B-I-G-L-Y. Hats off to Will Porter for recommending that great podcast name for me. So I think there is a lot of parallels and a lot to be learned. I do suspect that the monkey's paw was about war fatigue and warning of the perils, the unintended consequences of empire. And I'm sure that there were lots of them during the British Empire. It was said that the sun never set on the British Empire at a certain point in time because there was so much territory around the world that they had dominion over. And it was truly rivaling the Roman Empire in terms of its breadth and maybe not its legacy. Well, its legacy in terms of its effect on global geopolitics and how the Middle East was basically, after World War I, was divided up on secular lines, just secular political lines, without any kind of regard for tribal peoples or ethnicities or those kind of, lumping all these different, sometimes antagonistic groups into these arbitrary political designations. Just a real thing that messed up the Middle East for the next 90 years. And I'm sure, the effects of colonization are still running rampant in India to this day. So, but it's definitely this idea of quaintness that I really keyed in on, because there's people here in the United States who aren't even, they don't even know. I mean, the only reason why they remember that we're still at war in seven or six, maybe now, countries across the world or in the Middle East is because maybe we saw that The Outpost. There was a film about Afghanistan kind of glorifying men who went on a FUBAR mission to a base that was at the bottom of a valley with fire positions on every side, the worst possible place that you could have a fire base, which was in Afghanistan. But what I mean is, the only reason why anyone in the United States remembers that we're at war in all these countries is because they saw a movie about it, or they were told to stand during the national anthem, or maybe they had a relative or son that served in the military, and that's the only reason why. Otherwise, none of us are privy to even where all of our soldiers are. I'm using collective language like ours and served even. But people just don't know. They don't think about it. They don't have to think about it. In the same way, I think all that empire is to this family, unless they lost a son in one of the conflicts, but all empire is to them is stories that they get to enjoy when they sit around dreaming of the exploits of this soldier that visits them. So I would definitely suggest that you all check out the Monkey's Paw. It's a good one. And I have the Anchor app allows me to receive messages from people who listen to the show. So if you go to anchor.fm/LibertyBigly, there's a tab there where you can leave me messages. And if you read the Monkey's Paw, I'd really like to know what you think. And first off, I'd like to know how it scared you, because it is that time of year. It's Halloween, and this is widely regarded to be one of the most unsettling, scary stories of all time. It's a short 10-minute read, but you'd really you would make those connections with the libertarian lens, and maybe ones that I wouldn't have made when I was in high school reading it. But I think you would make those connections and you'd enjoy it. But I'm just trying to think of any other parting ones. So I mean, the son, he falls into the machinery and he gets all mauled up, but yeah. Well, anyways, I really appreciate it. I'd appreciate it if you checked out my podcast Unhallowed. We, with my wife, we talk about that a lot. But also thanks for subscribing to Liberty Bigly, for everyone who does in that audience. You really are the Liberty Weekly elite. But if you would like to join the Liberty Weekly elite, check out anchor.fm/LibertyBigly. And if you are just a Facebook friend of mine and you see that I'm live streaming and you haven't heard of my show, the Liberty Weekly Podcast, I do libertarian legal analysis. I'm a practicing personal injury attorney. And so I use that as a vehicle for my activism. But also Liberty Bigly, it's just fun B-sides where I can do episodes like this off the cuff. So really appreciate you hanging out. Go check out the Monkey's Paw. I hope you have a great week, had a great weekend, and we'll catch you later.